I mention that to you because the King James translation was the translation of Scripture along with the Geneva Bible in some ancient languages like Greek and Aramaic and Syriac and Hebrew that our founding fathers actually studied. So I want you to know that. And I'm going to begin again at verse 1 because I want to make a point here. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, "Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." But he answered and said unto them, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or mother, It is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Esaias prophesy of you, saying, The people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Praise the Lord for reading of his word. You can be seated if you're standing. And I want to show you one of my favorite flags. You visit our booth, you will see over there one of the first of the colonial flags, which was an appeal to heaven. So much for the atheists saying that this is not a Christian country, had no Christian foundation. Or the pine tree flag that is said appeal to God. One of my favorite is this one that shows the American eagle and says, "Land of the free and home of the brave." Now, may I catch your attention very quickly by saying America will remain the land of the free as long as it remains the home of the brave. And quite honestly, I do not believe anybody is going to have much courage or bravery unless they find that in Christ. And I can tell you, though I was once young, I've never been small. For those of you that have come up and said, "Gee, you're so tall and I'm so short," I said, "No, you're not short, you're normal, I'm abnormal." I've never been short, but I was once young, and I can tell you that I've never been somebody who was really afraid of very much. But I can tell you what, the Bible says that the fear of God is the beginning of all wisdom. And I hope and pray before this day is out that you will, in fact, have the fear of the Lord, not in a way of knocking your knees together and that kind of intimidation, but the kind of fear that says that God can help you, and most assuredly you can. And by the way, I have here $1 million bill. $1 million bill. Well, it's not a real one. I've got some that if you visit our booth over there, the Patriot Pastor booth, be glad to give you this replica of $1 million bill. But I want to tell you what I'm going to share with you today will mean more to you and be more valuable to you than if I was able to give you a real $1 million bill, although some of you out there would probably say, "No, I'd rather have the million." But when you have the things of the Lord and the Lord in your heart, you will find that $1 million means very little. Now, I want to set for us, that comes from the scriptures that I just read, a theme, and this is the theme. What do we do when the traditions of men are opposed to the word and the will of God? Let me say that again, and I do want it to sink in. What do we do when the traditions of men are opposed to the word and the will of God? Hello? That's what's happening here in Newport today. That's what's happening all over New Hampshire. That's what's happening all over the U.S. the ongoing challenge to believers, if you're a believer in Christ today and a follower of Christ today, born again, the ongoing challenge to believers in every generation. That is a challenge to every generation. But it's also the choice that all people, regardless of colors, nationalities, creeds, backgrounds, families, and origins, must decide. And if I emphasize must decide, I'm emphasizing must decide. The decision will be made one way or the other. You'll make the decision on purpose, or you'll make the decision, in a sense, accidentally, because that decision will be made. For those of us that recognize that the traditions of men, just what Jesus said to the Pharisees and to the Sadducees, those Pharisees, Sadducees, and scribes, if you will, were the religious people of the day. But they were not teaching people the traditions of God and God's will. They were teaching their own traditions and the traditions of men. And Jesus said to them, you're not to do that. That's hypocritical, gets people into trouble. It's not what is right, and it won't help the people. And oddly enough, in America today, and I want to make it abundantly clear to you, I love Jesus Christ with all of my heart, with all of my mind, and with all of my strength. But I also have a deep, abiding love in my heart for this, my native land of America, with nearly 400 years of ancestry in this country. I love this country. I have no desire to live in another country. My desire, when I depart New Hampshire and depart America, I'll go live in the country known as heaven forever with Jesus. Some people might think that's strange. Well, I'm too old to be worried about what people think is strange. But for those of us who understand that we are seeing the traditions of men in our country being taught as if they were the most important traditions that we needed to obey, this is what I'm going to tell you to do. It's time for some muscular Christianity. It's time for the pushback, if you will. And too many people are involved in their PlayStations and not involved in their prayer stations. And by the way, thanks be to God that this is Faith Fest. It's faith in Christ Fest, not faith in your pet rock, not faith in yourself, not faith in the arm of flesh, and by the way, not even faith in the state government, town government, faith in money, or any of those other faiths that will not save you or protect you. And we have a booth here set up to pray with you. So whatever your prayer needs and requests, Miss Pat is over there and she's got other people, you go over there and get some prayer. PlayStations are fine, but prayer stations are what we need. It was an American missionary named, and he was a martyr because he died for the cause of Christ in South America. His name was Jim Elliot. And he wrote in his journal, teach me, Lord Jesus, not to be hungering for the strange and peculiar, when the common, ordinary, and regular, rightly taken, will suffice to feed and satisfy the soul. Many people today are looking for the spectacular. They're looking for some new truth. Well, let me tell you something. There are truths that the Bible expresses about Christ. There are truths about America. There are abiding truths. They may not seem so exciting to you anymore, although even on this green today, it's been proven that some people, some of the things that I'm going to be sharing with you about the history of America, that's going to be new to you. You never heard it. In my day, going to elementary school in Lexington, Massachusetts, we heard a lot of these things day by day, but now they don't teach them, so it may seem kind of new to you. But the truth of the gospel abides all over the world in every generation. And by the way, when I mentioned to you about different colors, nationalities, creeds, backgrounds, families, and origins, I didn't mention to you about different races, did I? Because I have this strange notion, I believe it's biblical, that there's only one race, according to the Bible, and it's the human race. And all human race have descended from Adam and Eve. That's good, but that's also where the problem started. The sin of Adam being born into people. And I believe that there's no price too high to have a free conscience before God. And so I ask you today, and I'm somebody that pops questions all the time. By the way, did I tell you there's going to be a test when I'm finished? All teachers do that, right? There is going to be a test. Someday, somewhere, there'll be a test for the things you've seen, you've heard, and you've done. So I hope that you will recognize that there's no price too high to have a free conscience before God. And if you don't have a free conscience before God, don't leave here today until you have one. And that is possible through the forgiveness of Almighty God through Christ and through prayer. And there's lots of people here today who are out on this beautiful day. And by the way, I'm going to give you a $100 word. It's called quintessential. Say that with me. Quintessential. Quintessential means top of your game, the best that you can have. And today in New Hampshire, this is a quintessential day. Low humidity, clear skies, gentle breeze, beautiful green trees and everything else. And if you've got a garden, if you're farming and whatever, you've got a good dose of water. And my friend who raised Christmas trees is always saying, we don't have enough water, but he told me the other day, I've got enough water. That's the blessing of Almighty God. Don't stop testing and correcting your insights by Holy Scripture. When people come up to me, don't be surprised if you have a notion about something and you say something to me and I said, well, where are you getting that from? And I'm going to ask you, where in Scripture is that? I'm going to ask you, where in our foundational documents, all the way back to the Mayflower Compact and Fundamental Orders of Connecticut and the Articles of New England Confederation, the Articles of Confederation, the Declaration of American Independence, the Northwest Ordinance, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. I'm going to ask you, show me in those documents that what you believe is right. Of course, you're entitled to your opinion. Just remember that your opinion is not necessarily truth unless your opinion comes from the right source. A letter of our second president, John Adams, to a very fine woman. I always talk about the founding fathers, but I want the women amongst us to know that I'm also talking about the founding mothers, of which there are many, and they were very notable women. One of them was Mercy Otis Warren. 1776, public virtue cannot exist in a nation without private, and public virtue is the only foundation of republics. There must be a positive passion for the public good, the public interest, honor, power, and glory, established in the minds of the people, or there can be no Republican government. And please, before you think that I'm speaking on behalf of the Republican Party, I said Republican government because America was founded as a constitutional republic. The word democracy does not even exist in our foundational documents. So I'm not talking about a political party here, a Republican government, nor any real liberty, and this public passion must be superior to all private passions. Now let me translate from the 18th century English what he was saying. Public virtue cannot exist in a nation without private. If you're a thief, if you're a drunkard, if you're a drug addict, if you're a liar, a cheat, an adulterer, a fornicator, and all the other things that the Bible says that the Lord wants to deliver and heal us from, and by the way, don't think I'm only pointing fingers at you, but for the grace of God go I. I have been saved by the grace of God, and I have a BC testimony. I have a testimony of the way I was before I came to know Christ. So please don't think I'm condemning anybody by saying that. But if we do not have this personal virtue that only the Lord can give us and help us with, we can't expect, and I hear people downing all, you hear what the president did? Do you hear what the governor did? Did you hear what that congressman did? Did you hear what that board of selectmen did in Newport? Yeah, I did. Why are you so shocked? What happened in your living room the other night? What happened in your office the other day? See, the thing is, if we really want a better America, and I know the Lord wants a better America, if we want a better New Hampshire, a better Newport, a better town, a better neighborhood, the Lord says, you know what? You can do something about that right now by letting the Lord lead you by getting into the Word of God, the Bible, learning what it actually says and what it doesn't say, and let the Holy Spirit equip you and strengthen you. See, when we look at that marvelous document, the Declaration of American Independence, and I said it a little bit differently than some people, I read it on 4th of July in a church. It actually takes, it's 1,378 minutes, excuse me, words, takes about, depending on how fast a reader you are, and I always tell people, some people say, you talk as fast as a New Yorker. I said, well, I'm not a New Yorker. I wasn't born there. I was born in Massachusetts and raised there and in New Hampshire, so I'm not a New Yorker, but I do talk fast, I suppose, because I'm real enthusiastic about the subject. But if I show you this Declaration of American Independence and the feather that they signed it with, which was a turkey feather. And by the way, when I was in Ringe last week, I almost did a lot of hunting. It's not turkey season, but hey, when they run out in front of your car, what are you supposed to do? Right? They become fair game. There's lots of turkeys out there, and I'm talking about the kind that fly. In this declaration, it's an important thing that a lot of Americans do not realize. There is a statement in there that is so sacred in the history of mankind, and I say so sacred because it does not exist really anywhere else, and it's this. The Declaration of American Independence expresses God's common law. Now, how does it become common law? When you go out in the rain doesn't fall just on the bad guy or the good guy, as the case may be. The rain falls on everybody. That's God's common grace, common blessing, so to speak. Well, in this declaration, in one of the most important parts of it, I think, it says the unalienable, and some people argued and said inalienable, right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And that does not come from the traditions of men, does not come from government of men. It comes by the endowment by our Creator, that's capital C, the God of the Bible. So when people say, well, who cares? I never liked history when I was in school. They'll tell me that, or they don't understand these things, they don't care what happens with it. But I tell them, you better care, because the rights that you have are quickly in the traditions of men, and that's what our theme is here that I'm speaking on, that we are being taught traditions of men as if they were the will of God, and they're not. And I'll tell you what, like Esau, who gave up his birthright for a mouthful of bread, don't give up your God-given rights for the traditions of men, or you'll find out what an unhappy life is, and a lot of this is happening in America. And I believe that America's destiny is still in the hands of people just like you. Common folk, just like you and me, to be salt and light in this land. We do not need to reinvent the foundations for freedom and liberty. That's unlike what happened in 1776. They had to start all over again. We don't have to. We just have to clean things up, if you will. We simply need to restore our government to these foundations to secure the proper destiny for America. Our task is much easier than it was of our forefathers. We don't need to create anything. It was created for us a long time ago, and it was created so that we may, many generations later, would know the road home from a dark place in history in which America is now facing. You see, really what we're seeing in the issue of the life of the unborn, and as Tom Travers shared his testimony and issues of pornography and different areas of sexuality, misunderstandings concerning what real marriage is, about all these other things. What you are seeing in this day is people by their traditions of men trying to banish God. Well, I have news for the people with their traditions of men. You will not be able to banish God from this earth, from this country, and from this green here today. Can't happen. Amen. But they're trying. So we need to remember. We need to remember how our liberty was won. We need to remember the virtues of faith, love, and self-discipline. We need to remember the values and morals that made this country great. With that in mind, I want to tell you about something we created that commemorates our country's fight for freedom in exquisite detail. And what that actually is, and we'll say this in the words of George Washington, while we are zealously performing the duties of good citizens and soldiers, we certainly ought not to be inattentive to the higher duties of religion. To the distinguished character of patriot, it should be our highest glory to add the most distinguished character of Christian. When you read in the First Amendment, the Establishment Clause about freedom of religion, they were talking about freedom of Christianity. George Washington has scripture engraved on his tomb in Mount Vernon. These people believed these things because they knew about history. They knew what went on in the world. They knew that if people wanted to be free and if they really wanted to be prosperous, it wasn't going to happen under any other system of government and way of life except Christianity. The general principles of which the fathers achieved independence were the general principles of Christianity. I will avow that I then believed and now believe that those general principles of Christianity are as eternal and immutable as the existence and attributes of God, and that from John Adams and the father of the American War for Independence, Samuel Adams, who incidentally, people know that the oldest beer company, Sam Adams Beer, they've just changed their attitudes. The way the John Hancock office building and John Hancock Life Insurance have changed their attitudes, I think Sam Adams would take his name off that beer bottle. I think John Hancock would take his name off of that building and that insurance company. Sam Adams said, "May every citizen have a proper sense of the deity upon his mind and an impression of the declaration recorded in the Bible. Him that honoreth me, I will honor, but he that despiseth me shall be lightly esteemed." God is our government. King Jesus is our King. And by the way, government has failed at being our God. Every government in the history of the world has failed at being people's God. Not supposed to be, but God does believe in government. He's given us Romans 13, and it needs to be rightfully understood. This will be the best security for maintaining our liberties. Do you want liberty? Benjamin Franklin said, "A nation of well-informed men who have been taught to know and prize the rights which God has given them cannot be enslaved. It is in the religion of ignorance that tyranny begins." Anybody here want to be tyrannized today by somebody bigger, stronger, more badges, more guns, or whatever? No, we would like to have freedom. The belief in a God, all-powerful, wise, and good, is so essential to the moral order of the world and to the happiness of man that arguments which enforce it cannot be drawn from too many sources, nor adapted with too much solicitude to the different characters and capacities impressed with it, and that by our fourth president, James Madison. Alexander Hamilton, a Christian man, good survivor of the Revolutionary War, died in a gun battle, a duel. "The sacred rights of mankind are not to be rummaged from among parchments and musty records. They are written as with the sunbeam in the whole volume of human nature by the hand of divinity itself, and can never be erased or obscured by mortal power." Folks, we live in a time where men want to impose upon us their thinking, their traditions, their rules, and their ways that are not the traditions and the ways, the rules, commandments, and the things that will set us free that come from God. Say no. Yes to God, no to man's traditions. We all have them. I mean, everybody has their own family traditions. That's okay. But to try to say the traditions of men are equal to the Word of God is blasphemy, foolishness, and will lead to taking away people's freedom. And I don't want to live without freedom. It was a great man who died at the end of the Second World War at the hands of the Nazis named Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He said, "Only a moral and righteous people are suited to do battle with the massive evil that grips America today. All others will falter in the face of evil. Silence in the face of evil is evil itself. God will not hold us guiltless. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act." We are facing that time. And I can tell you that we who do know Christ as our Lord and Savior It is time for us to act in a way of standing up for what is moral and what is right. And we are the people who are suited to do the battle with evil. We're not on a playground, we're on a battlefield. We ought to be no less persuaded that the propitious smiles of heaven can never be expected on a nation that disregards the eternal rules of order and right which heaven itself has ordained. The father of our country, in his first inaugural address, George Washington, said that. These people knew what they were talking about, and it was true then, and it's true now, and that's why we're reminding each other of that. And by the way, if you're interested in being different, I want to tell you something. Don't try to be different. Just be good. That'll be different enough in the world we live in right now. See? And you must never be fearful about what you are doing when it's right. Many people are fearful, and the Lord said 4 times in the book of Joshua, chapter 1, be of good courage, be of good courage, be of good courage, be of good courage. The choice before us is plain. It's Christ or it's chaos. It's conviction or it's compromise. It's discipline or disintegration. That's what it can be. And I'm rather tired of hearing people talk about their rights. You know what I really want to hear? I want to hear people talking about their responsibilities. Because we do have them. If you look at the Constitution, the first 3 words, we the people. America's future depends. Newport's future depends. New Hampshire's future depends. New England's future depends upon her accepting and demonstrating God's government. The world has enough men and women who are interested in just being popular. By the way, I didn't come here to sell you anything. Didn't come here to get your vote. If you're going to do this again next year, yes, I'd like to come back, but that's not what it's about. I might not even be around next year. I might be having premature serenity, or I might be in heaven with the Lord. But I can tell you this, the world has enough men and women who are popular. It needs men and women who are pure. We need men and women who would rather be morally right than socially correct. Did you hear me on that? Men and women who are more concerned with being morally right than socially correct. You see, we have these people who tell us that tolerance is very important. Currently, it occupies a very high place in Western societies and in America. We hear it all the time till ad nauseum. Sometimes I feel like I'm going to throw up if I hear tolerance again. It's considered gauche, even boorish, to question it. In the intolerance of tolerance, however, questioning tolerance, or at least contemporary understandings of tolerance, and I can promise you that our founding fathers didn't tolerate a lot of things that we tolerate today for good reason. And what are we facing here? We're facing kingdoms, two kingdoms. There are only two. The kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of the world, and they are not equal, and they are definitely in conflict. And on this rock, Jesus said, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Matthew 16:18, the chapter later from where we read. See, the government has a plan for you. Don't be deceived in thinking this government today does not have a plan for you from the cradle to the grave. But what you need to know is that the Lord has a plan for you too. If you know Christ today, hallelujah, I salute you. Continue to get closer to him and know his ways and stand up for his truth. If you don't know Christ today, you're not on the winning side, and you'll never be on the winning side unless Christ is your Savior. I'm sorry to tell you that. No insult to atheists, no insult to other religions, but that is the truth, and that is the truth here in America, and we still, thanks be to God, have the freedom to say that. And I know it's true because I myself became free because of Christ from a lot of the things in my past that I'm ashamed of, and fortunately that the Lord forgave me of, and I've forgiven myself. What difference does it make, you might say? What difference does it make that the government has a plan for you? Well, that's what we read in the scriptures when we started. There's a tradition of men, and it interrupts and keeps people from the traditions of God that are right. You will never have the fullness of Christ if you're always going by the opinions of men and the traditions of men. See, all tyranny needs to gain a foothold is for a people of good conscience to remain silent. Timeless values or politically correct values, which you're going to have. There's a God, the God of the Bible. Our rights come from Him. If you don't remember anything else I've said, and I know I'm going on a little long, and I'm almost finished. But if you remember nothing else, there is a God, the God of the Bible. Our rights come from Him. The purpose of civil government, as our foundational documents, just like the Declaration and the Constitution say, are to secure our God-given rights. And by the way, it only takes a spark to get a fire going, doesn't it? So let's us be that spark. Ronald Reagan taught us, freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We see that that's true. We didn't pass it on to our children in our bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on for them to do the same. Or one day, we will spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it was once like in the United States when men were free. Our absolute dependence must be on God. The moral and spiritual challenges facing our nation can only be helped by the Lord helping us and His word and His ways and His traditions. Our national need right now is for repentance and a true divine intervention. We need another great awakening, and it can happen here, right now, in your heart, in your home, in your church, in someone else's church. It can happen and will happen. Our great hope for a general awakening to the Lordship of Christ, the unity of His body, and the sovereignty of His kingdom. And if you're a Christian, don't ever give up believing that. Trusting the Lord is a battle, especially in this media-soaked conspiracy to hide His truth. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. The patriot who feels himself in the service of God, acknowledges Him in all his ways, has the promise of almighty direction, and will find His word in his greatest darkness, a lantern to his feet and a lamp unto his paths. He will therefore seek to establish for his country in the eyes of the world such a character as shall make her not unworthy of the name of Christian nation. And that man, Francis Scott Keyes, gave us our national anthem. You see, I wondered why somebody didn't do something. Then I realized, I'm somebody. I can do something. You can't fight to win if you don't put on the gloves. We're fighting for the soul of America. If you do not know Christ as your Savior today, please come and see somebody who does and let us pray with you. And I want to sing this in closing. Faith of our fathers, living still, in spite of dungeon, fire, and sword. Oh, how our hearts beat high with joy whene'er we hear that glorious word. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death. And that's the Faith Fest. And hear this as a closing prayer for my segment of this wonderful day. Of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. In vain would that man claim the tribute of patriotism who should labor to subvert these great pillars of human happiness, these firmest props of the duties of men and citizens. The mere politician, equally with the pious man, ought to respect and cherish them. A volume could not trace all their connections with private and public felicity. Let it simply be asked, where is the security for property, for reputation, for life, if the sense of religious obligation desert the oaths, which are the instruments of investigation in courts of justice? And let us with caution indulge the supposition that morality can be maintained without religion. Whatever may be conceded to the influence of refined education on minds of particular structure, reason, and experience both, forbid us to expect that national morality can prevail in the exclusion of Christian principle. And this we pray in the name of King Jesus. Amen and amen. Somebody has stolen my country, and I want her back, and I want her back now.
Thank you very much.